December 19th, 1993, Rob speaking at the Barnyard Community Room in Carmel, California. Angels, I guess, will be the topic. So before we begin doing angel parts, I'd like to do a meditation. It's almost frightening. Okay, so I don't have any rules or regulations on how to meditate. Everyone does it different. So especially for those of you with yellow, there's a lot of wiggling you can do and moving. This is not a sit still thing. If I wasn't so exhausted, I wouldn't be sitting still either. So please feel free to move around. There isn't any right or wrong way. Basically, I just would like, since it is the holiday season, and there's extra attention and amperage already being put on angels, it's a really wonderful time to begin to feel them in a more direct connection. There's already mass consciousness putting all this energy on it so that it makes for a more direct wire. There's already a bunch in the room already, so we have a wonderful head start. And so the outcome I'd like to have from this little meditation is to get you to pay attention to yourselves and to recognize that the angels are just you. They're just past, present, and future multidimensional aspects of you. And I'll talk more about that afterwards. So before we begin, I would like for all of you to call all of your attentions in from all the persons, places, things, and events that you're having your energy put on. And that includes, especially now with all the shopping frenzies and relatives and work and as we talked about last month about how the lack of energy that's available seasonally, because this is a time of hibernation. And only in America do we do twice as much work during the time of the year when we're supposed to be quiet. So this is partially a hibernation experience also. And as you go into this cave that you are, you will find many other parts there, including your angels. So call all of your attentions in from all the persons, places, things, and events that are pulling on you. And just do that with a few breaths, as deep as you'd like or as shallow as you'd like. Just as you breathe in, know that you're telling the universe you're willing to receive. And the best parts to receive, in my estimation, are you. So just call all of your parts in. And I will ask that some of the angels, there's going to be more than enough to go around today, that some of the angels go out and cover all of these events and people and things until we all return our attention to them once again later on. So they're all covered. You can stay here. You don't have to worry about it. That's what angels are for, not just parking spots, but covering bases. Yeah, and just feel yourselves from head to toe, especially down below in your feet. Yeah. Now, take a few breaths, and we're going to start in a different spot. Most people work up or down. I'd like to start from the central core, your heart. As you take your breath, and you don't have to hyperventilate, just soft, gentle breaths, notice that your lungs are the wings that make your heart soar. And so as you expand and contract your wings, let your heart fly. And then start feeling the core of your being. This is the time of year when everybody's pulling you away from yourselves and asking you to stretch out. And I'd like you to know you can stretch out by actually going in. So with each breath, start with your heart and expand, and let the energy just expand like layers on a jawbreaker through your body. For each one of you, you can pick your own colors as to what you'd like the breath to be. I would have a recommendation that it includes some yellow, some sunlight, golden yellow, and warmth. That yellow is related to joy, and joy to the world is the angel's song. This is the Christmas season. And so number one thing angels are about is joyfulness in all occasions. Let your heart fill with joy and love, whatever you believe that is. Self-appreciation. And let the warmth of this yellow, with each breath, start penetrating through your entire body, up and down at the same time, into your neck and shoulders, and into your abdomen, Let your neck and shoulders, your stomach, your low back all relax. Move your scapula around, your shoulder blades. And imagine the wings that are there in another dimension. Imagine the wings that are there and move them and let them be free. Set them free. Come up into your neck and your head and your crown and let the energy come out your crown, out the back of your neck, out your throat. The energy also goes down into your base chakra and in your thighs and in your calves and out your feet. So from your heart center, everything's radiating. It doesn't have to come from outside into you. It's endless within you. Let it come from the inside out, radiating out. And as you begin to radiate out, please feel your head and toes at the same time, and your front and your back, all the parts. And imagine around you a field of energy, about 3 feet all around you, a cocoon of energy. Can be any color that you like, any sound that you like, any feeling that you like. But allow it to be your outer you. Fill it with the energy that's coming from your heart. Feel a foot away from yourself and then back against your skin. Feel 2 feet away from yourself and then back against your skin. And then 3 feet away and all the way to your core, which is unlimited, so as far in as you'd like to go today. And with each breath, you're vacillating or vibrating in and out within that sphere. Within that sphere, each one of us has a number of angels, but we'll just pick one today. And we'll ask that your guardian angel occupy that space and let that angel fill that space. And listen and feel as what you imagine this guardian angel feels like, as they introduce themselves differently for each one of us. It might be a tone. It might be a feeling, it might be a texture, a wisp of wind, an emotion. And then ask this guardian angel to wrap its wings around you. His or her, if you want to make it a gender, you get to pick your own. Many of them are androgynous, so imagine it might be the word. Wrap its wings around you and feel loved. This is another part of you. This is not a separate being. This is an extension. Just like your hand is an extension for your body, this is a helping hand. You don't have to be a good person to have your hand feed you, nor do you have to be a good or a religious or special person to have your angels help you. You just get to be you. When you put your attention on them, they will be able to connect with you. Let this angel wrap its wings around you and love on you. The love that everybody's looking for, this part of you can do. This is not separate from you. Please remember, this is you. This is a different dimensional version of you, and so you're simply loving on yourself. Wrap these wings around you. Let it hold you tight. Let yourself feel secure. Akin to a baby nursing at mother's breast, and it's held securely and snugly, and so you can just let go, and you're getting fed and loved and nurtured, and you don't have to hold on, you don't have to be in control. Yeah, that's really good. So ask this angel to stay with you and see if you can make an agreement, if it's within your realm of desire, to stay conscious and to attention this angel and acknowledge its existence and to welcome its presence and know and share the dialogue or the energy that you know that this isn't whether you're worthy or not, you didn't have to earn this or not, you don't need to be a good or a bad person, it doesn't really matter. Your job is simply to know that believing is seeing. When you put your attention on something, your energy flows there. So put your attention on your angel. And this is the time of the year where the angels are in full bloom, full connection. And so take a few cleansing breaths, bring yourself back into your body, but stay conscious of the 3-foot sphere of energy around you. Stay conscious of your guardian angel. And know that this is the time of the year where you get to give yourself a really fun Christmas present, and that's to pay attention to the bigger parts of you. They make life really fun. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Take your time. Play with him or her or it. Give you a couple minutes to connect and chat, make requests, feel what it's like. Please remember what it feels like. It's like tuning forks. We have the ability to remember, to call back into our member, into our body, feelings and frequencies. We can remember joy. So remember the joyfulness. Remember the feeling. Take however long you need to memorize it so that you can call this energy in when you forget about the connection, and then you'll do a direct connect. So welcome back. It's really been difficult for me in my life to talk to people about multidimensional things, because each and every one of you has your own way of seeing things and doing things. There is no right way or wrong way. There's just your way. And you're in charge and you're the boss and you get to decide how it all goes. So I'm going to attempt to be generic, though I will tend to lean towards my way since I'm the one doing the chatting. But know that there isn't any right or wrong way. You did really good, Karen. My favorite thing about angels is that they'll do anything for you, just like your hand will do anything for you. So when you reach into a bowl of grapes, those of you who've heard me say this before, bear with me, and you put those grapes in your mouth, you don't go, "Oh, hand, I promise I will be the sweetest girl, the nicest boy, the bestest person you've ever met. I will go to church next week. I confess all my sins," or whatever it is we've all been told we need to do in order to connect with parts of us. So please know that when you do your hand into a bowl of grapes, you expect it to put the grapes in your mouth. And I would like you to know that you don't have to be extra special and nice and kind or soft. You can ask these angels just to connect with you by expecting them to. And when you treat them like your hand, you're not being disrespectful to your hand. You love your hand very much. You wouldn't go whacking it off. And so when you're not paying attention to your angels, it's very much like ignoring your hand and ignoring this really wonderful tool. And I believe I've heard people call angels helping hands before. And so that's why the reason for that analogy. Know that you can, I know some people who work really well with angels and they're assholes. Just to cut to the chase on that. And I know some really sweet, nice, wonderful, loving persons who have no angels that they're aware of helping them, even though they're surrounded by them. So where your attention goes, your energy flows. As you've all heard me say before, you have a big toe on your right foot. And yes, there it is. And it's been there the whole time. And yet, if you weren't paying attention to it, did it really exist until you put your energy on it? Like if a tree fell in a forest, did it make a sound if no one was there to hear it? If your angels are there and you're not putting your attention on them, then they really no more or less in existence than your toe. You don't feel them, you don't perceive them, yes, they're there. So it's about putting your attention on them. And know that you don't have to deserve it, you don't have to earn it. From my experience, the number one thing when I work with people individually on chatting with their angels or getting reconnected, what I've noticed mostly is the shame gets in the way. I'm a bad person, or I don't deserve this, or I'm not good enough, or I abandoned this, or I have 6 ex-wives. There is no right or wrong. And look at me, I have 3 ex-wives. I'm halfway there. And if you ask any one of them, I'm not a pleasure to live with all the time, yet the angels are always helping me and always chatting with me. So I'll be an example of you don't have to be a good person or a perfect person. And yet they're very helpful. And I use them for very selfish, simplistic, unimportant things. And that's the other part. The second part I notice is most people think that if you're going to work with angels, they need to be dematerializing things and clearing up stuck energies and saving souls. And you know, let them clean the kitchen for you or something. The angels are very outrageous. They don't have a judgment about what's good or bad or right or wrong or up or down or left or right. They're in a frequency that doesn't have time or space or emotion. They're definitely loving, but it only feels like love here. It's a radiation, it's a frequency they operate at, just like the sun. When you go out and hang out in the sun when it's one of those perfect days and it warms you through your entire body and you feel really loved and joyful, that sun's the same all the time. It's not saying, well, I'm going to love on them today and then I'm going to fry their ass tomorrow. You know, it radiates. It just is. And your angels do the same. They'll just radiate. They'll just love on you. All you have to do is understand what the distance is, how much sunscreen you need, or how to remove some of the blockages you might have. Does that make sense? So they're very wonderful. I like them especially to help me find parking spots. It's like my favorite thing. And especially living in Carmel, it's a really good idea, going up to the city. I don't usually send them on what most people would think are very important things. I have other assistants or my own other parts of me that I pay attention to cover most of my psychic parts. I don't usually use the angels for information, though they're available for that if you want to. I want you to know there is no right or wrong way, and I like being an example because I rarely use them for important things or what the world would think is an important thing to use an angel for. Yes, you can send them to do healing or intervene or to assist people. When you send your attention to them, that's where they go. So you can do anything you want with your angel parts. But I think one of the best ways to start is simply to just acknowledge that they exist, that you don't have to be a good person to have them, and start feeling them around you like they are right now. This is really a wonderful time of the year. Everybody's putting their attention, they're singing Joy to the World. The minute you do Joy to the World, that's the angel song. It just amps them up. That's one of their big time jobs, is to do joy. So it's like calling them in. Everybody's going Joy to the World, and then they don't, and the angels show up and they're going, well, what do you want? And nobody's paying attention. They walk right through them. So take advantage. This is an amazing time of the year where mass consciousness is putting full attention on this dimension. A dimension they don't even believe exists for a great many of them. They'll tell you that Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny exist long before they'll tell you angels are real. You know, so know that if you'll just stay awake and stay conscious, you can just pull them in this time of the year. They're right there. Angel on your shoulder, they're always there, but they're more dimensionally present. They're more solid. When you put your attention on something, it becomes more present. Yeah, so you don't have to be good person or bad person. That makes sense? Any questions on that? That's the bottom line. Most people disconnect themselves on those two points. So if you know that they don't have to do important stuff and that it doesn't matter what you're doing or why you're doing it, then you're home free. Take advantage and know that part of this will bring, just to even consider those two aspects, will bring up some homework assignments for you. Because as you attempt to call them in, you might feel your shame or you might feel why it is you've been disconnected from them. For some people, it's scary. If I call in the angels, people will hurt me. They will think I'm a flake or I'm a ditz. And there's a number of angel people in this room. And it tends to be usually the living angels that have that experience. For those of you who have chatted with me that have blue and violet, the most of the room seems to have blue or violet. I think the whole room at least has that. People with blue and violet are the angels on the planet, especially the blues. Blues are the epitome of angels. That they, in fact, Mother Mary is a big time blue, and she's the closest. Sister Teresa, what do they call nurses? Angels of mercy. You know, a lot of blues become nurses and nuns, and grade school teachers and moms, and they're known for their angelic frequency. That doesn't mean all blues are angels all the time. We all are humans and we have our ups and downs. But the bottom line is, everyone in this room is a real live angel, and for those of you who know you have blue parts, it's even more so. And blues and violets came here to make major transitions on the planet. So know that you're not only do you have these other angel parts, but each and every one of you have your core angelness and wings. And we'll have to have Julie Kings come sometime. She sees angel wings, and have her chat with you. I see them, but I don't know how to describe them. She has ways of putting words to things. It all looks like grids of energy to me. But each one of you has wings. And not everybody has wings, by the way. It's been my experience, and this is my, again, I have to say, preface this, this is my system, these are my eyes, this is my perception, and other people see things differently. When I look at people, I only see indigos, blues, and violets, and lavenders with wings. And they're all in the spiritual-emotional family. And so the mental colors, if they have violet, a mental color, yes, they have wings also. So there's a combination of people in here that have amazing brains as well as wings. And so you can be an angel and also balance your checkbook. You don't have to be a space cadet or a ditz like me to do it. But know that you're epitomes of angels. You are living, breathing, walking angels, and so pay attention to your family. I'd like, since I see who we got here today, we can call it a family reunion, and to recognize who you are. You don't have to go tell everybody you're an angel. You don't have to deal with that whole third, you don't need to educate or interface with anybody. Most of the time, once you just be you, they'll tell you you're an angel. I'm sure a number of you have noticed that. Gosh, you're just such an angel. Sure beats telling them, they'll come and tell you. Go, yep, I know. It saves a lot of time and trouble when they discover it first. So your jobs as angels are just to be and to radiate love, which is this time of the year, and joyfulness, and to show people that there's nothing really important here to do. Not even angel work is important. It just is. And so that doesn't make us more important or less important. It doesn't make us good or bad people. It doesn't make the people who don't have wings and aren't doing that job good or bad, because without them, we don't exist. Everything is in opposites here. Without bad people, there can't be good people. Without tall people, there can't be short people. Without black, there can't be white. Third dimensionally, this plane we exist on is the plane of opposites. And so you guys have a job to do. And so the real live angels that you are, it's a lot easier to do the job when you have the whole family behind you. I watched The Three Musketeers the other day. How many people have seen that at the movie theaters? Oh, it's really good. It's a very cute show. And at the end, there's a part where there's this guy who keeps chasing one of the characters around in a comedic way the whole movie. And finally, at the end, he corners and says, okay, now we're going to have our duel. And this guy just joined the Musketeers. And so he says, excuse me, guys, I'm going to have to do this. And they go, well, wait a minute. You're a musketeer now. We'll all for one and one for all. And so it sounded like it just might be the three or four of them, and then this whole herd of musketeers is chasing the bad guy away. And it reminded me that's when you pay attention, when you remember who you are in the family that you're connected with. You don't have to ask them to come along. You just do your thing. You just go about your life, and if you'll stay conscious, and if you'll stay connected by remember, take it back into your body, you'll have all these angels and assistants helping you out. The number one thing I'm noticing for people right now is they're feeling alone. I have to do it myself. If it's going to be done right, you have to do it yourself. There's a lot of exhaustion. The great many people with autoimmune stuff and with Epstein-Barr and fatigues, symptoms, and their bodies are getting trashed, heart attacks. I believe, in my experience when I'm checking these people out, that for all of us, it's thinking you have to do it yourself. And your body will go into dis-ease because you're not in harmony with all your parts. You've amputated your angels. You've amputated your energetic connection. So during this time of the year, I'd love very much to remind you, and there'll be enough reminders out there, so that maybe within the next couple months, before it all fades away and gets into normalcy again, you'll be able to remember the frequency like a tuning fork and carry it with you. The angels make life really easy. And Pat can be my example on this. She's moved in. Has it been a year yet? How long? It's been a while. Pat's been doing assisting stuff for me for a year now, and she watches how things just waver up and down, and all I do is just say, well, it'll get taken care of soon. And that can be money, that can be energy, can be intimacy, can be interconnecting, whatever it is. And so instead of me just saying it, and you have to take my word for it, I actually have a witness now who is an angel herself, big blue, and watches how if you'll just trust, and if you'll just know that you're not alone, and this isn't some place you got abandoned or dumped like some cat. In Italy, whenever you don't want a cat, you take it to the Colosseum and toss it in. And so the Colosseum is full of cats. It's an amazing place. It used to have big cats, now it just has little cats. And they don't eat you. And nope, lots of people feed them. There's people who make their regular days feeding them. And you don't have to be tossed aside. You don't have to be lumped in a building. You didn't get tossed here on planet Earth and abandoned. An analogy comes to mind. Did I tell you the grasshopper and the ant story before? Has anybody ever heard the parable of the grasshopper and the ant? I must be the only person who's ever heard this. I guess it was just for me. Well, I'll tell it to you. I learned it in America. Have you heard it before? So, of course, Pat would have. A couple people. I'm going to cut to the chase on it. It's actually a pretty interesting little story. The bottom line is the ant works really hard and is storing food like crazy within its mouth into its place to stay, working. And this grasshopper is really cool. He's got kind of like Jiminy Cricket look with it, and he's got his fiddle, and his little shorts and his little vest, and he's leaning back on a tree. Oh, and every time I've seen a picture of him, he always has a piece of straw hanging out of his mouth. Yeah, Kedron was reminding me, just give me the straw look. And so he's standing there, you know, the classic lazy hick stereotype, and he's fiddling his life away. I thought it was very good. And the ant, every time he goes by, says, hey, winter's coming. You need to work. You need to store. You need to save. There's a disaster coming. You need to be prepared. And then winter does come. And all during that time, the grasshopper was just fiddling. And now he's starving, and now he's freezing. And so he goes up to the ant's place and knocks on the door. And the ant says, I told you this would happen. It was a classic, I told you so. And opens the door and lets the grasshopper in and takes care of him. Now, the moral of the story was supposed to be work hard so you don't freeze or become a burden on somebody, however all that works. What I got from it was you don't really have to do shit. There's always going to be somebody who'll rescue you. And so the poor ant got all disconnected from the system and how it worked, and that the way it works is everybody does take care of each other. And so during this season, I'd like to remind you that it's okay to be a grasshopper. It's to look at your shame patterns about, were you worthy? Did you earn this? Have I done enough homework? Have I done enough growth? Or am I spiritual enough? And especially watch out for that, am I spiritual enough stuff? You know, there's a lot of metaphysical, that's the best word I have for it. There's a lot of metaphysical bullshit going around where a lot of escapees from the third dimension thinking that if they have the rhetoric or the language will make them sound healthier or wiser or more connected. And the belief is if I know all this stuff or if I read these 50 million books or if I talk or act this way, I'm a better person. My son Gabriel just came for, hey Gabriel the angel, and he is an angel, it's very amazing. He just had his 20th birthday, a Sagittarian angel, and he stopped by to visit on his way through to go mountain climbing. At Pinnacles, and this angel person, what do I want to say about that? So, hi Sally. So, my angels, you guys did perfect. I feel like I'm up to date. I never remember anything I say, so it's so nice you guys have intelligence and minds. So, Gabriel comes, and he's moved into a new place in Santa Barbara with an acquaintance of mine who's this very powerful violet woman, who before she even knew was a violet. Her name's Rip Ripperetti. If you ever meet her in Santa Barbara, you can't miss her. She drives a bright purple Jaguar. Every house that she owns is purple. She's never not dressed in purple. And then she came for a reading, and I said, oh, I think you're a violet. Her whole life she's been the purple person. But violets can be very intense and very serious about their saving the world and their metaphysical stuff. For those of you in the room with violet, you might recognize those moments. And so she has an angel group she does 3 weeks, 3 nights a week at the house. And the house has angels everywhere. And here's this really intense Violet trying to pretend she's a delicate angel instead of being just the angel that she is. So Gabriel moved in a couple weeks ago, and the stories he's telling me is great. You're not supposed to talk any louder than this in the house. And you're supposed to walk like an angel. How are angels walking? So you're supposed to tiptoe, and everybody talks nice. You never say anything negative in this house. It's all sweet. And he goes, they're so full of shit. He says, I have never seen so many, there's five other roommates in this house. I've never seen so many pissed off people passive aggressively getting manipulated because you're not supposed to say a negative thing. So they're all suffering and twisting, and so they one will leave the window open, and one will leave the door ajar, and one will twist the picture. Just in a nice angelic way, though. Just to piss the person off that they're not allowed to say anything to. And so the example he brought home that reminds me is that a lot of people believe if you're going to be angelic, you have to be a good person. You have to speak with the lilts and tones and music, and angels say, fuck you. And they say it really good, in fact, because they're not concerned about outcomes. They have no self-esteem issues. They don't care whether it's good, bad, right, or wrong. It's just energy. It's just words. Yeah. Period. And so you don't have to be angels going around saying, fuck you. You can say, excuse me, or pardon me. But know that there isn't any right or wrong way, and please do not, as you start connecting in, I would like to emphasize today that it's not about being good person. Now, yes, I have my angel here in my pocket, and our job, it doesn't mean now all of a sudden we have to be angelic. That what the angelic kingdom's all about is a whole other frequency. This is planet Earth. This is 3D. You guys are human beings with angel wings, and so you're earth angels. And earth angels get to be human beings, okay? And so please take with you today, knowing that, yes, when you call in your archangels and your guardian angels and all these other assistants, these past, present, and future multidimensional aspects of you and us, we're all interconnected, so it's just us in a blender. We, like you've heard me say before, we all like a big bundt cake, all swirling together energetically. It doesn't matter whether you're good or bad. It's Bradshaw. How many of you have seen any of Bradshaw's work on TV? Yeah, he likes using that visual aid of a mobile. So if you move this part, everything else has to shift. So it represents the family. So if one person in the family does this, then the other part of the family sags down or shakes around. We're all interconnected. This is the world of polarity. And so there is positive and negative. So whenever someone does a negative, it allows for a positive, vice versa. And it's not positive and negative as in good and bad. It just is. It's just a polarity. It's just energy. One person's negative is another person's positive as you expand out and look around. And so part of being an angel is not to judge yourself. Part of using the angels is to get over deciding whether it's really good or bad for an angel to find a parking spot or to get you in front of somebody in line at the bank. You know, whatever, they tap them on the right-hand side, and I'll go around the left. You know, they're good for that, to get people to turn like this and just... is that a bad thing? If you think it's bad, you won't get to do it. So know that the angels and you, it's not about good, bad, right, or wrong. I've noticed the big trend now for people to go back into their past lives and fix them. I'm going to go back... and I got murdered at the stake here. Now, I think it's really exciting to see why it is you carry through linearly and holographically different things you do. But watch out for America-itis, which is if it's broken, fix it. Your good people are perfect. Do not go into your past lives and say, well, because it's carried forward here and I'm doing this, I need to fix it there and that'll fix it here. So if you make your whole life past positives, guess what? If everything's supposed to be in balance and we're in polarity, where are the negatives going to come then, if not now, in the future? If anything, I would go in the past and make them all negatives. If you've got a control issue, go back and fuck everything up and then sit back and enjoy your life because you're due. But I believe they'll discover that later. That's a little, even though I'm saying it sarcastically and humorously, it would really work. But then you actually get bored because you've found one of the keys and one of the shortcuts to balancing everything now. And when everything's perfect, it actually is quite boring. As much as we kick and scream about it's not perfect and it could be better, the minute it's really perfect and great, we have to go and do something to screw it up. We're compelled to, because we get instantly bored. When I retired 8 years ago and moved to Hawaii with this gorgeous blue angel, and we just had our 14 houses and traveled around the world and zoomed around in our Learjet, and we did all the... I had the life most of you guys would die for 20 or 30 times. Torture me as much as you want if I get that. And it was like in a year I was over it. It was totally boring. I did everything I could to make it challenging, to make some energy move. And so I believe that what most Americans, what we're told here is the thing to get, what is the golden ring, the prize, had a channeling psychic angel, loving, kind, sensitive person. I was getting to do my stuff. We were really wonderful together. We could live anywhere in the planet we want, and did. And we had ready cash to get to those places, and we had house sitters taking care of everything. We had guest house that took care of. So when we showed up, the fireplace was going, the house was lived in and ready, and so everything was like perfect. And it was really boring. It was too perfect. So recognize that within yourselves. Also, angels, the wonderful thing about angels is they don't have judgment about good, bad, right, or wrong. It just is. The pictures I've seen of guardian angels with the little kids crossing that famous bridge with all the broken planks in it, I've seen a lot of renditions of it. But never have I seen an angel grabbing the little girl by the bow on her cute pink dress, or that guy by his belt straps or belt loop, and guide them across. Angels just hold the space. That's your guy's job also. And when you allow your angels to come in, that's what they get to do for you. So it all gets passed. It's like the house that Jack built. It all gets passed up and down. So allow the angels to hold the space for you, as so that you can hold the space for yourself and others. And angels do not butt in. They don't tell people what to do. They don't have a judgment about it. If that little kid fell off the bridge, it just loves them all the way down. You know, but it doesn't grab them. I've yet to show me a picture where they're hanging on. Nor is that angel reaching into their pocket saying that'll be $5. It isn't about money either. So for those of you who have some judgments about doing angel stuff and then getting paid for it, we'll address that in a second. Your number one job for all of you is to hold the space, especially those of you with blue, which is 2/3 of the room. Blue's job is just to radiate like a lighthouse of love. And anybody who comes within that sphere of love gets loved on. And if they're not wise enough to see what a lighthouse is, to recognize it, let them hit the rocks. Next time around, they'll go, oh yeah, that was a lighthouse. Okay, now I get it. You don't have to be dragged into the water and drown with them, and you don't have to be pulled down into the rocks. Hold your space. Love on them. If they fall off the bridge, if they crash, it's not instant death. It's not the end of the world. It's all ongoing. And your job is to give yourselves that benefit of the doubt. It's not just about them. Once you, because I always have a hidden agenda in everything I talk about, and that is, it's always you. So even though I say it in different ways, I'll just be blunt about it. And whenever I'm addressing something outside of you, I want you to know I'm talking about you and you. When you make a mistake, when you fall off the bridge, you might die, BFD, because you're going to recycle. You're going to recirculate. It's not the end of the world. And one of the things I love most about angels, the multidimensional angels, when I was working in the cancer unit, when we worked in the serious cancer unit, when I was doing my death and dying counseling there as a therapist, as well as doing behind my office doors readings for people and connecting them with their angels, I worked in Fresno Community Hospital. It was a 33-bed, sixth floor, third floor. 33-bed, 5 or 6 people dying a day regularly. That's a fair percentage of 33 beds. We had seriously sick people taking serious drugs, really doing everything they can to survive. They've already been butchered on about 20 or 30 times. Their bodies are trashed. The cancer drugs were killing them more than the cancer was. And my job, I believe I was assigned there to show them that there was a much bigger picture, and to quit, you know, beating themselves up, quit struggling. And what I've noticed is the angels would come in when the people were dying. And I was there for 5 years, 6 years, almost 6 years. And I had hundreds of people die in my arms. And I enjoyed it very much. So it's not a bad thing. And I would watch the angels. Usually, we're in the room always. Everybody has a few angels with them, as I see it. And yet, when we start getting into crisis, it's almost like when you get shocked or surprised, your body instantly kicks adrenaline in. And when you get into crisis, the angels are like these multidimensional adrenaline things. They start showing up and they infuse the room and it gets really full of them. And they usually put themselves, if it's a square room, they usually get one in each corner. First thing, that's what fills first. If you're going to go look for angels, go into a corner. It's been my experience that they go there first to kind of balance out the energy in the room. And then it starts filling in. And as these people were beginning to die, most of them would be sitting up in bed. Or if they weren't able to sit up in bed, usually that last week before they decide to go, they're chatting with angels in the room where they're laying down. And I'm watching them. I'm seeing the angel in the corner. They're having a conversation. And the doctors and their family are going, "Oh, poor Gladys. She's about to go. The cancer must have gone to her brain." And then as they get really close to dying, and their energies, you watch their aura fade out, and then the angels just come in closer and closer and love on them. And the real exciting thing is that the angels vibrate at the next dimension's level, which is where you're going. So they're always a reminder of the next layer in the jawbreaker. If you wish to go to that, you can go to any layer you want by putting your intention on it. But the bottom line is to know that they're there and to call them in and know that they vibrate at what people call ecstasy. And it's been my experience that most people have orgasms when they die. They don't tell you much about that. Come when you go. It's really true. I watched it happen over and over again. Yeah, and so what I noticed was that frequency continued for them, that the angels operate in an ecstatic, orgasmic frequency. And that what sex is about is one of the few ways you get to initiate that doorway. It's a reminder of the next frequency, or what orgasms are about. And so the angels actually orgasm you to the next frequency. Once you're out of the body, it's not a sexual function, it's not a physiological function, but the vibration is orgasmic, ecstatic. And so one of the exciting things that happens is when you start paying attention to the angel that you are and you hold the space for you and you call your angels in, your other parts, you can be in an ecstatic. In fact, many different cultures or religions talk about getting into ecstasy. It's been my experience, if you want to get into ecstasy, you remember that you're an angel, you remember the other angel parts. And know that that's just my term. There's other cultures that don't use the word angels. They'll have some other part. So you can make it whatever you want. I'm using angels today because we all seem to have a stereotype understanding of what angels are. They'll come in and hold the space for you, and if you'll fill that space with you, you can be in this ecstasy even if you fall off the bridge. Yeah? You can just fall off in ecstasy and splat and can care less.
Can you say that again?
Yeah. Which part? Here's
what,
the filling and holding of the space part. What we were doing a little while ago with the meditation was to call all your attentions in. Because most people, the first thing they forget is that, you know, quit sending your energy everywhere, stay present. And know that the angels and guides that you have can cover those bases for you in anticipation. It helps you stay present. It's about beingness, human beings instead of human doings. Then the next layer is once you're back home, then it feels safer, it's more familiar to expand and to recognize that you're bigger than just this body. But most people are out of their body, they're into the future, they're back in the past, they're thinking about this, they're attentioning tomorrow's business, even though it might be Sunday, it's not a work day, it's still already on tomorrow's business. And so they're pulled out, and so it's how can you be with yourself? How can you be a human being? How can you feel a region around you and see how much bigger you are? So first we have to get back in. The next part is, and once you're there, you get to have more senses available to you, more perception about how much bigger you really are. And I picked 3 feet because most people have a 3-foot band of energy around them. Everybody in this room at least has that. And there's a lot more, it never ends. But 3 feet, when I watch people's auras, they tend to stay within 3 feet. and can send them out bigger. Like when I'm speaking, I can send them to the back of the room, but when I'm in public, I just keep it a couple feet around me and just mind my business. And we all can do that. We can reach out and touch someone. It doesn't have to just be the phone company. It can be us. And we fill that space, and once you start seeing, you can get bigger and smaller energetically, and you allow your angels to come in and allow yourself to be that angel within there, you can start operating in ecstasy. You can stay present. You can quit worrying about tomorrow. You can trust. I've always attempted to teach trust, but it's not something one can teach you. And so my job has been to just keep living my life that way as an example. So I get, like, this angel person comes in my life to work for me, so she gets to watch this outrageous guy always on the edge, totally trusting no matter what that it's going to be covered, and then she gets to see the miracles that happen every month. Every month something happens, and it fills in, and I never know what it's going to be, but it happens. So I'm so glad to have a reporter now. I've been telling people this my whole life, and they go, oh, sure. And it's really so. When you trust, and you let go, and you just be, and you trust that these other parts, not the angels are going to rescue you. They're you. You're going to rescue you. That these other parts of you are there to let you not have to feel so frustrated or alone or abandoned, to start feeling all your parts. Stay connected. Stay integrated. And then get orgasmic. And what we're moving into right now is this indigo era that you guys have heard me on occasion chat about. Well, I'm half indigo, but mostly what you guys get to see when I'm in public is my violet. Michael Jackson's an indigo. He's all indigo. Indigos tend to be very androgynous, balanced male and female beings. Michael Jackson does not do sex. They're going to have to figure this out, but his job is to get people used to